Ready? Gaundy and Maz. The Hit Breakfast Show.
Jobin. What you doing?
He is a regular on this show. He's one of our mates. He is a mess of a human. He's also the Wolf of Wall Street, Jobin.
That's me.
And Jobin, we're talking about what are you unqualified to teach. You have been teaching me golf, and what are your qualifications?
Oh, look, you'd say a golf... golfer, so I can't even say it. There you go. I'm highly qualified. You'd say a good golfer is around about a 6 handicap, maybe 10. A great golfer is off 0, like scratch. I'm off 28, quite high, so highly qualified.
But you've had no professional training. You've got no professional runs on the board. You've just taken upon yourself to spread your knowledge, teach a bit of golf to not just me, but a few other of our friends.
Yeah, absolutely. It's do as I say, not as I do.
Do you know what I do enjoy? Yeah. I do feel like passion can really do well for you, more so than talent. And in this instance, I feel like your passion is the thing that qualifies you to teach golf, not the fact that you're excellent at it.
And I've also spent tons of hours on YouTube learning this craft, but just can't do it when I do it. But I know how to do it, so I can show you and advise you. But the reality is when I do it, a little different. But I'll get there too.
Well, YouTube is a breeding ground for unqualified teachers, isn't
Absolutely.
It, really? You know, people do that, then they pass it on. But don't you feel, isn't there a really big potential that you're just passing on the wrong ways?
Absolutely not.
Based on?
I know what I'm doing.
Based on your own opinion of your ability?
I can't help it if my hand eye isn't as high-end as everyone else's, but I know how to do it, I just can't. So I can just pass on my 25 hours of YouTube knowledge on to you guys to help you get a little bit better. And look, it works. We took a friend out the other day and I just said, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little less here, a little more there, and then boom, straight on the green like a seasoned pro.
What you are doing,
results speak for themselves.
You are creating a tribe of average golfers and you're the president of that club.
Oh, I need a jacket.
He takes his golf very seriously, Maz. That is almost the biggest offence that you could possibly give.
Too serious.
Jobin.
There's no such thing. Yeah, that is absolutely offensive because you know no matter what your handicap, you can go out there each and every week and you can win if you've got the belief. If you've got the skill set, even better. Bit easier.
This is what I get on the golf course. This is what I get when I go out with him. I get like him in my ear giving me all the tips and tricks.
The fact that you are a salesman is really shining through for me right now, mate.
Well, Gandhi, we went out and you say that I'm like, I don't know, or bing, bang, boom, whatever I'm trying to do. But guess what? All I did for you was say maybe point down the fairway, not hard left.
I'll say this, Jabes. I appreciate the tips, but I went in with Shivo, who's an actual professional, and I came out of there feeling confident. And then I get out there with you on the, what is it called?
The holes. Green.
The green.
The golf course.
I get out on the green, and it all just turns to shit. I mean, what do you make of that?
How much did you pay him?
$60.
How much did you pay me?
Nothing.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd rather take those average tips off you for free.
Heaps. See, look, cheaper.
Unqualified.
Cheaper.
If you, one day, Jobin, one day they will make a movie about you and it will be titled Unqualified.
Please, it'll be called Australian Champ.
It will not. Who's going to play Jobin in his biopic?
I reckon Chris Hemsworth dressed as Thor.
Don't know about that.
No.
In a golf suit.
No.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Jobin. We'll leave you there, mate. See, if you are unqualified to teach something, but you're passing on your wisdom, you're passing on your knowledge, that's what it's all about.
Guys,
we're all for it. I'm all about it. It's all good.
It has just come to light
that
somebody on this very team has been doing this without our knowledge.
And getting paid for it as well,
this
mind you. And
just,
getting paid.
Yeah, we need to address that next for sure.
Gaundy and Maz.
We just had our mate Jobin on the air.
Jobin! What you doing?
What you doing is something we need to address almost weekly because this mate of ours, Javen, is a mess.
He is teaching you how to play golf, Gaundy, but he's not qualified at all. In fact, he's not even that great at it. It's pretty average from what I hear.
That would hurt him deep.
That's
it would.
Fair.
It would.
That's a fair assessment.
He takes it very seriously, Javen. And when I'm out on the course with him, he thinks he's a pro. And the tips that he gives me, it's like he's Greg Norman.
But he's not.
He's not.
He's Javen.
Yes. Unqualified to teach. But I also love it. I love it when someone just goes, you know what? I'm pretty good at this, enough to feel like I'm an expert.
Producer Matt.
Hey, guys.
Do you have a story that you'd like to contribute to this segment on the show this morning about being unqualified to teach something?
Look, I may or may not have been a boat driver and a wakeboard and water ski instructor at a summer camp in the US. So I was teaching kids between the ages of 6 to 16 how to wakeboard and water ski.
That's a great gig, by the way.
And your qualifications?
Well, I had wakeboarded. I had never water skied. I mean, I wakeboarded a few times. I'd never water skied.
You'd never water skied, but you were teaching kids how to do
it. Yes, and so my friends, before I left, I went, oh, crap, I can't go over there with no idea about how to water ski. So I went and water skied a couple of times behind a tinny. And then my friend bought me a DVD, Beginners How to Water Ski.
DVD.
And I taught those kids, they were getting up out of the water, flying.
Were you driving the boat as well?
I knew how to drive boats.
But I know you know how to drive a boat, but did you have a boat license?
Oh, yeah. Actually, no, I'd always driven it without one.
Oh, no.
Up until like 6 months before it, I'd always just had my mates in the thing, so I didn't need to. But I'd driven boats a million times.
How'd you get the gig? Like, did you lie to them and say you were qualified? What'd you say?
Oh, I said that I just grew up doing it. And I sent them some videos of us. I sent them videos of us on the weekends because they, like, and it was us boating and doing stuff.
If we have any listeners in America, they are pulling their kids out of summer camp right now because of that story. Right.
Those kids could fly by the end of it. They were so good. Barefoot. Okay, maybe not barefooting.
It does. Barefoot. No, please. Don't.
It does go to a whole new level when you get paid for your unqualifications.
Your job.
Yes.
Yeah, that was my job.
Yeah, that's
mate.
A whole nother level. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Michelle. Great. Let's go to Michelle on 131060 this morning. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
What are you unqualified to teach?
Nothing.
Say that again.
Hairdressing.
Hairdressing, cutting hair. Yes.
Oh, are you doing home haircuts on your kiddos?
Absolutely. I have five kids. Been doing it since they were little.
Do the kids like their haircuts or do they look like mum haircuts?
I've definitely gotten better over the years.
Yeah, are you teaching them how to cut hair though? Are you like saying, hey, you can cut your brother or sister's hair after this? Is that?
Well, my 10-year-old likes to think she can.
But she can't, can she?
I picture this at Michelle's house is the kids in height order.
Yes.
And you know how you do like a massage train where you massage the person's shoulders in front? You're doing a haircut train.
That's time efficient.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, it's dangerous, kids and scissors. But anyway, give it a go. Give it a whirl.
How old's the second youngest?
The youngest is 10. The other one is 12.
Oh, yeah.
Sucks for the 10-year-old then because the 12-year-old cutting hair, who knows how that's going. Thank you, Michelle. Let's go to Kelly. In Kincumber this morning, what are you unqualified to teach, Kel?
Soccer.
Oh, okay. Have you got kids in at soccer practice?
Oh, they're all A-grade players.
I bet.
I played in women's all age 7, 6 and 5, so I'm the best soccer player ever. So I will tell them everything to do, like, you know, make yourself an option and run, kick the ball, do this. And if they could have broken their leg and I tell them to get up and keep running.
Kelly.
Like, all of them made grand finals this year, so I must be doing something right.
You're doing everything right.
Must be.
Your kids are making grand finals. You're doing everything right.
Like Premier League, like for Terrigal. They won the Premier League, like, you know.
Now that you mention it, local sporting coaches are right in that field, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like I've only ever played Division 3 AFL footy, but I could go on and coach some junior AFL
side.
Easy.
The qualification for a lot of this stuff is just if you have a child that's enrolled in the team, that's the qualification to be the coach.
And no one else wants to do it, then you're in.
You want to do that? You have a job, my friend.
Kelly, $100 at D Shop this morning. D Shop, jump online, see what they're got. They've got absolutely everything. That is yours.
Oh, my God. And Gordon, my son got a hole-in-one and he's 12.
Ooh.
Very good. Played to Everglades.
Maybe your son should be teaching Gordon how to play golf and not Jaben.
You know, he's a natural sportsman. Like, got cricket last week, got none out, 25 runs.
Which hole at Everglades did he get a hole in one?
I think the third, I think. Don't hold me to it. I didn't really listen a lot.
Don't
I was
hold
like,
me to it.
You didn't listen. Your son got a hole in one and you didn't really listen a lot. I'd be like, you're amazing.
Sounds like he's an overachiever.
I was like, you know, you got to keep that going because mama needs a new car.
Absolutely. Living through the kids, Kel.
Hit.com.au.
Right, I hope you got your diaries out or your iCal or whatever you use, because here are some dates that you guys really need to jot down. Santa mail closes on Thursday, November 26. If you are sending a letter to Santa and you haven't done it already, you need to have it in the Australia Post red box by Thursday, November 26 to ensure that Santa gets it on time. International standard shipping closes on November 27 in order to guarantee that your international friends and family will get their gifts in time for Christmas. Domestic parcel post closes December the 12th and domestic express post closes December 19. They are the drop dead dates for your Chrissy Prezzies, guys.
And so you mentioned there, sorry, I was looking up jingle bells, Christmassy
right.
kind of stuff, because tomorrow's a month until Christmas. You mention the Santa cutoff, the Santa?
Mate, it was the first thing
one?
I said and I talked about it the most because it's probably the most
the
important
Santa cutoff.
Date.
Okay, give it to me one more time.
Santa mail, if you're writing a letter to Santa, Thursday, November 26, that's only a couple of days.
Yeah, so get them in quick.
Yes.
If you miss that, we have a hotline, 1-800-952-936, where
yes.
you can call Santa direct.
Yep.
1-800-952-936 is the number for kids or anyone who'd like
anyone.
To
anyone. If you need
chat.
To get a kid on the naughty list, we're getting plenty of those calls at this time of year, interestingly enough.
We've teamed up with the Smith family for this one, so head to thesmithfamily.com.au to find out how you can support the Toy and Book Appeal and help bring smiles to children in need this Christmas. Very important.
There you go. Christmas admin check. Did you want to play Jingle Bells? Did you find it?
Oh, I was thinking, like, which one do we like? You know,
there's
do we
so
like
many.
A bit of...
I thought you'd do Mariah Carey along with the Christmas, or is it too cliche now? I feel like Mariah's not cliche. She's
with,
a diva.
I mean, I'm all good with cliche.
Merry Christmas, ladies.
Listen
Merry
to Bublé get real kind of, yeah.
He gets a good run at our house at Christmas time on the playlist.
Here he goes.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Jeez.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Do you know who's got a great Christmas album? John Legend.
Really?
It's excellent. He does the classics, but he's also got some fresh stuff as well. It's like, it's my favourite Christmas album at the moment.
Get on that.
Until somebody, I mean, I'm sure someone's going to release one this year at some point, and I'll be like, oh, that's my favourite.
Snoop Dogg's got one.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Does he
yeah.
really?
Snoop Dogg's got one.
He does.
Get on board.
Christmas cracker from Snoop Dogg.
Hey, he sold out a long time ago before menu lock.
He's allowed to enjoy Christmas.
Yeah.
Hey, can we talk about the old vaccination, the jab that everyone's freaking out about?
Yeah.
Okay, so Oxford University, they're doing a vaccine trial. And look, the reports that I'm reading is that we are closer and closer to seeing this vaccination happen and the jab being available for us. I've read articles that are saying if you want to travel internationally, you're going to have to get the jab. Which jab specifically will hit the market first? I'm not 100% sure. But Dr. Andrew Pollard from the Oxford University vaccine trial talks about how close they are in this clip.
We've got a vaccine which is highly effective. It prevents severe disease and hospitalisation. And intriguingly in the results, although the headline is 70%, protection. We do have a subgroup who got a half dose as the first dose and then a full dose as the second dose where we saw 90% protection.
Guys, we'd love to take calls on 13 10 60. Are you going to get the jab? I feel like because I am seeing more anti-vax information and arguments than ever before with this, I guess, dilemma that people are having, because in the past vaccines aren't, they've been encouraged but it's not compulsory, and this one feels a bit like, okay, you don't have to get the jab, but if you don't get the jab you can't go skiing in Hokkaido.
Yeah, but also feels a bit 70%, maybe 90%, you know, it's not 100%. They're not saying we've got a vaccine that's 100%.
No vaccines 100%.
None.
No, there's a very, very strict criteria on the level of protection that a vaccine has to be, like all the measures have to be in place for it to be approved
so
and sent out to market.
What percentage are you happy with? 90 you're happy
so
with?
Here's the thing.
70?
As a young, healthy adult who takes my health and wellness very seriously and I'm rarely ill, I don't have any autoimmune diseases, I don't have a compromised immune system, I feel very confident that if I did get symptomatic with coronavirus, I would absolutely smash it out of the ballpark. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah,
right?
I'll take all the jabs.
So I would take the jab as a protect, as an act, like to add into as a safeguard for my health and wellness. Yeah, 90% sounds good to me.
Gaundi and Maz. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Trending right now. Hit.com.au.
131060 is our number if you want to call the show, or you can text us 0800 18 900.
We want to know this morning if you're keen or not keen on getting the jab when it is released. And I'm talking about the coronavirus vaccine. So there's several trials happening at the moment. The Oxford University vaccine trial is the one I feel that they might have a product that's available that is shipped to market that we're going to see as an option for us. If you choose to get the jab, this might be the one that you're getting. Dr. Andrew Pollard has given everyone an update on the Oxford University vaccine trial.
We've got a vaccine which is highly effective. It prevents severe disease and hospitalisation. And intriguingly in the results, although the headline is 70% protection, we do have a subgroup who got a half dose as the first dose and then a full dose as the second dose, where we saw 90% protection.
All right, let's chat to some people. 131060 this morning. Would you take the jab, Rebecca from Forbes?
Hi, how are you? No, I would say no. I wouldn't take the jab at this stage.
At this stage. So is it because you're concerned that it's unsafe, or what's the motivation behind a flat no?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think we just don't know enough about the coronavirus in general. I think it's very new to all of us as a society and on a world scale. I think we need to know a little bit more about it before we can possibly create a vaccine, in my eyes. But definitely down the track, if we find that, you know, things are safe, then definitely. But I think we could end up with a generation of people with some sorts of terrible health problems because we've taken that chance just to get out there very quickly.
Rebecca, when can I just ask, because this really genuinely fascinates me, this discussion, because I love to understand why people are motivated to make their choices. When, if you do get unwell, do you go to a GP or a doctor?
Yes, yeah. And I'm also working early childhood, so...
Wow.
I'm up to date with being immunised and vaccinated and knowing exactly the importance of it. And I'm actually a huge supporter of immunising our children and being vaccinated as a society. So I just feel like it's all very new, and it's just to keep people at bay at the moment, to keep them, because there's a want, isn't there? We're all a bit afraid. And I guess if someone says we've got a vaccine, everyone goes, sweet, we're all safe. Like, you know, so I'm just a bit sceptical.
How long are you willing to wait, Rebecca? A couple of years?
Good question. Yeah, and you know what? And in saying this, it was exactly what I thought. How long is safe? Look, I don't know. I'm not a scientist again, but yeah. I would say, you know, at least a year, you know, to sort of see how can we possibly know the ins and outs of coronavirus in this short amount of time when we still haven't even, you know, we're going to lockdowns and all sorts of things, and even understanding the way it spreads and whatnot. So,
all right, yeah, give it a little bit longer.
At least a year.
All right.
At least 12 months you need to be convinced that the vaccine is going to protect you.
Also, let the other fools take it first, Rebecca. Let's see what happens to them, and then we'll come in.
I feel like those people who you politely just called fools, they're the people, these vaccines are being trialled on human beings at the moment. Like, there's human trials happening. Yeah. So there are people that are getting the vaccination and they're monitoring their health and their symptoms, exposing them to the virus, and then coming up with this magic number of 70% or 90%. And it's not a cure. A vaccine isn't a cure. It's to safeguard your health so you have a higher level of protection.
Chris Acoffs on 131060, you taking the jab?
No, I wouldn't. Not while we're living in Australia. But at the same time, if I was to travel overseas...
That's a great point.
If I would assume they'd probably say on your passport whether you've had the vaccination or not, and if you haven't, then you're probably going into 2 weeks quarantine. So in that case, if I wanted to travel overseas, yeah, I probably would, like I would if I was going to a country with yellow fever or rabies.
That's a really great point. Yeah, because there are some parts of the world when international travel was a lot easier and more accessible, where if you were going to certain parts of the world, there were certain vaccinations that you needed to get in order to protect yourself. This might be that same situation. You make a good point, Chris, because coronavirus doesn't really exist here anymore, guys. Like, we've done an amazing job of containing this, but we are an island. And so that's why I think, too, the international travel factor for us is a big one. Because the only way we get to another country is by getting on a plane.
Gauging by a lot of people that have called the show, I think they Chris. I think they, if they wanted to travel and it was something that they needed, but while we're here and while we're safeguarded, they're not, it's a big no at this stage.
It's your body, your life. If you don't want to get the jab, you don't have to.
0800 18 900, feel free to text through any time.
Gaundy and Maz.
It's Animal Friends.
Hey guys, here's a really amazing story about a human who's become friends with an animal in Animal Friends. Angela Tinning, a 46-year-old finance manager, one day came home with a little kitten that they called Missy because she was a real diva. Missy didn't like hanging out with people. Typical cat.
Yeah.
But one day, they were all playing on the floor and Missy jumped on Angela's chest and she thought, oh, that hurt a bit. And then after that, whenever Angela was lying down, Missy would come over and lie on her chest and paw at her in one spot. And she'd move Missy's paw away and Missy would put her paw straight back on that part of her chest. After 3 months, Angela was getting really annoyed at Missy and she thought, this is nuts. Maybe I should go to a doctor and explain that my cat is bugging me. I don't know what to do. So Angela went to the doctor, explained the cat's behaviour, and then the doctor found that there were atypical cells and calcification and actually diagnosed Angela with breast cancer. And then she was able to get treatment and survive.
Cats can do this stuff.
Isn't that amazing?
Did the doctor say...
Missy saved Angela's life.
Yeah, so did the doctor say that animals can do that?
So Angela did say in an interview that she had heard that dogs have this kind of sense, that this is not an uncommon story, that dogs can kind of alert owners to particular things that aren't quite right in their body. But she's never heard of a cat doing it. And Missy was not even one. Missy was just like a tiny little kitten, but just knew that mummy wasn't well. And then mummy went to the doctor and then mummy got better.
Amazing. I will say, cats do that though. They come with the paws and the pushing in and, you know, I'm just, could it be a coincidence or not? Because it's very baffling to me that a cat could actually do that.
You could be totally cynical and go, it's a total coincidence. But I think after 3 months of the cat bothering her that much that she thought, maybe I should go to a doctor.
But I've moved, so what I'm saying is with a cat, I don't have a cat, but a cat will do that and then I'll move the paws and then the cat will just come back and do it again.
Where's the cat doing that on you?
Oh, just any spot. I don't really know. I never thought to go and get a check, friendly.
Maybe you should.
No, that's what cats do, isn't it? Isn't that what they do? I think it's a big, amazing coincidence, maybe. I think it's, what do you guys think out there? You
guys, I just want to know where the cat is pawing at you and if you need to go and get anything checked at the dock.
No, that's just what cats do. But do you guys think, coincidence?
That cat continued to get back onto the same spot.
That's what cats do, right?
Cats need things.
Yeah, they need things.
But so you're just saying it's a big coincidence?
Maybe.
We're not going to focus on the fact that Angela's completely fine now.
It's a kitten. It doesn't. It's just jumping up onto the chest of the... It's what it thinks its mum is.
If the doctor said, oh, my God, the cat is amazing, the cat has found this for you, then I go, okay, cool.
That but is
if it's
literally just her what saying, Angela said.
Angela, I'm not buying Angela. I'm not
How
buying Angela's
cats
story.
How does Angela have?
I think just the one. Just the one. I Missy, haven't spoken Missy. To her recently. I don't know.
Found out.
I think it's just Missy.
She might have a few more, I think.
If one cat saved her life, why would you need more than one? You only need one cat to save your life.
Hey, an amazing coincidence is still amazing, Maz. And the fact that she's tied it back to Missy the cat.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe it was the meds from the treatment or something. I don't know.
Look at Maz's face right now.
I'm
so
really disappointed. I really believed in that story.
No, I believe
it's
in
really
it.
It's really sad for you guys that I believe you just don't in it. Believe in it.
I believe in it, and I just think it's
an
amazing coincidence. That's all.
Okay. Great. End of Animal
Is
Friends.
Is she all right? Angela? Yeah, she survived. She's good.
She's Missy. coincidence, but saved a life. Yeah, she's still alive today to tell the story, which is how we got the story on the show.
You ready? Gandhi and Maz, the Hit Breakfast Show.